So today, step 11 is one of my favorite steps. But before I get into all of that, let's see. This is my home group, Simple Actions. We meet right here on Monday night. And my sobriety date is October 24th, 1982. And I truly believe today that I am sober through the grace of God and the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, because I didn't want to be here when I got here. And not drinking was not something I was interested in. But so anyway, I never follow the directions that David sends. So I like the paragraph before, just one line in there on 85 where it talks about, if we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. And one thing I've been taught that when they're kind of recapping the step, am I having that experience? Am I experiencing the flow of his spirit into me? I like the word flow. Kind of reminds me of a hippie, which I was in the 70s. And so today I can say I do feel that flow. The other thing I really want to say before I forget is I've been sober a while, and like I said, this is my favorite step. This was not my favorite step. When I came into these rooms, I was not going to say the word God. I am not going to pray to a God, and I'm not going to sit next to you if you're talking about God. And so if you're new and the hairs on your neck are standing up, I get it. I truly get it. And what I offer you is just to have a little bit of open-mindedness and willingness and honesty that this whole program demands anyway, and amazing things will happen in your life. And so it works if we work at it. And so there have been times, just to talk a little bit about prayer and meditation. You know, I was a hippie. I know all about Eastern meditation and sitting and doing yoga. And so I've done a whole lot of different meditation. And what I do today, I'll get into on the next reading, because truly the nighttime review is not my strong point. I have gone through phases where I don't do it at all. I've gone through phases where I write down the answers. I've gone through phases where I know the questions and I just kind of review it in my head. And I go, and sometimes I go right to the last line and ask forgiveness and what corrective measures should be taken and go to bed and don't really listen for any corrective measures. But what I love, love, love about all of those questions is the way it works for me, to me, step 11 is a recap of step 10. It's the same questions, you know. It's asking me, have I been resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Says that in step 10. Watch out for those things. Do I owe an apology? Says that in step 10. Have I kept something to myself I need to discuss with another person? Says that in step 10. And so what this is for me is I'm still not real good at immediate amends, like, said the wrong thing, better go fix that. I can do it with some people sometimes, but sometimes I'm laying there at night and spinning in my head, and that's when I definitely do this step. Because I can't stop that brain and that wheel from going with on my own power. And what I really love on this is was I thinking of myself or others and what I could pack into the stream of life? Again, with the water and the flow. Now, I can be in a stream and I can be a rock and be stubborn and do it Debbie's way, or I can kind of be the water and flow, or I can be a fish and just kind of get pushed along, however you want to see that stream of life. But what it is for me to get out of myself and to think about another person. And I've been at meetings where people give numbers and I can percentages, and I might do that 20% of the day. And I really try and do that, but I have this disease of selfishness and self-centeredness, and I know that this is where I'm headed, but I can't say that I'm there all the time. And let's see, the other thing that I do, I write down this thing about St. Francis, because my prayers change throughout my sobriety, but one that's been pretty consistent is for me to be a channel, because I think it's got to come in to go out, and that's how I see it, is just like a flow or a stream or whatever of God's grace coming in so that it can then go out of me. And when I don't do these things and I block it, that's what the whole 4 through 9 is all about, in clearing away that wreckage so that I can be part of this stream of life. Thanks.
Thanks, Debbie.
My name's Will Cheney. I'm an alcoholic.
Hello, hey, Will.
My sobriety date is July 27th, 2009. My home group is Friends of Bill W. in Suffolk at Providence Methodist Church. We meet at noon and 8 o'clock on Thursdays. I have a service position in that home group, and I have service positions outside of the home group in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a sponsor. I'm very grateful that he could be here tonight. And I sponsor other men. In the hopes that we do have some newcomers tonight, I'd like to share some of my experience that brought me to a state of willingness to practice the 11th step. And growing up, fear became a constant companion of mine at an early age. And I was very fortunate to have my mother, who was a woman of deep faith. She was devoted to the church. And she had an alcoholic husband and probably got involved with Al-Anon in about 1960 when I was 10 years old. And at that time, we would my older brother, myself, and my mother would have a little prayer studies before school. And she taught us that it's better to give than to receive, to love thy neighbor, and to treat others as you would want to be treated. And she also taught us to trust God. I never got that part. And when I discovered alcohol at 16 or 17, it was the solution for the fear that was at the root of my budding alcoholism. And as I began to live life with that as a solution, I began to seek comfort and understanding and love from other human beings to fill up my life. And what my mother had taught me was to give those things. But that all began to ebb away as I became more selfish and self-centered living with untreated alcoholism. And I began to behave poorly. I began to make poor choices. And I caused harm to others and I squandered my God-given gifts and talents along the way. And I finally had the opportunity to drink myself into a state of readiness. I may look good tonight, but at the end of my drinking, I was a falling down drunk. And I got to experience that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. What a gift that state of being was for me. Because I was willing to surrender at 3 in the morning, sitting in the dark, slumped on the sofa. And I didn't make it to my knees, but they weren't far from the floor. And I just looked upward in a weak voice. I said, God, please help me. And I know he helped me in so many ways in that moment. And I sensed a presence in the room, and I knew I wasn't alone, and I haven't been alone ever since. And I sought help in Alcoholics Anonymous, and God helped me by putting an effective sponsor in my life early on. And we sat down, and he laid out the plan of action and the directions. And one of the directions was to read page 86 through 88 every day, along with the doctor's opinion. And I didn't even ask him how long. I just said, okay. And I had the sense in that moment that I'd made a deal with my sponsor when I told him I was willing to go to any lengths to win victory over alcohol. And for me not to do these things, I would be breaking that deal. And I did read these pages every day. I read these pages every day until I began to live it. And along the way, the gift of the 11th step prayer came into my life. And I put that as part of my morning devotions. I was always prone during my years with untreated alcoholism to that worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. It would drive me into states of deep depression where I was paralyzed with fear. And it would, the only cure for it was to drink more. And so my nighttime. The first time my sponsor suggested, he asked me, and when I called him on like the third day at the appointed time, he said, "Will, do you pray?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Where are you when you pray?" And I said, "Well, I lay in bed." And he told me that he got to his knees to humble himself before the God of his understanding. He said, "But we can work on that, Will." And I got out of bed after hanging up and I got on my knees. And I've been on my knees ever since. I'm very comfortable in that position, asking for God's help. And when I go to bed at night, I get on my knees next to my bed as I did as a child. And on the wall above me is a painting of a little girl kneeling next to her bed and praying with her kitty cat sitting next to her. And most nights, my kitty cat comes and sits next to me. And I'd like to think she's praying too, but in reality, she just wants her treats. And at the end, after I prayed, as I turn out the light, I always thank God for another wonderful day, because since I've gotten here, they've all been wonderful. And then I ask him to help me to have sweet dreams, so that when I awake in the morning, my psyche will be in the right state of being. Thank you.
Thanks, Will. We're going to continue on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. After all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. I like this part. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it.
Okay. So, okay, this is my favorite part. So, again, I've done this throughout my sobriety many different ways. Often it was driving to work, praying my prayers, you know. But as Will was saying, when I first came to the rooms, I didn't want to get sober, and I didn't get sober, but I had to come to the rooms because the judge thought it was a good idea. And I was tending bar, and my husband was a beer truck driver, and I really was not into this AA thing. I was 27. The group of men that all I see, David and I's story is very similar. They were 110. They were all smoking, and they had nothing that I wanted. When they said, "Do you want what we have?" I said, "No." And so I didn't. I stayed sober out of fear for a while because the judge was going to send me to jail if I got in front of him again. And then there came a time where it sounded like a good drink, just like a good idea. A drink sounded like a good idea. And so I have a lady that's in my life who ended up being my sponsor up in Baltimore. She just turned 80 on Saturday, and she's just a wonderful woman. But anyway, I remember going to work. We worked together, and she was sober about 8 years, and I told her that I drank. And she said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to keep drinking." And she said, "Okay." You know, she had loaned me her book, just like out of the book. I mean, it was textbook. And so I continued to drink, and I continued to go to meetings, and alcohol is a wonderful persuader. And so when I came, and I was sincere, and I said, "I don't know that I want what you have, but I know I don't want what I have." And I got a sponsor. She was not so kind. They weren't real politically correct when I got sober. She said, "You will get on your knees and pray. In the morning, you will ask God to help you not take a drink, and you'll get on your knees at night, and you'll thank him. And so the people that know my story know that I would get on my knees and say, this is Debbie, because I didn't think he knew who I was, and I don't know why I'm doing this, but please help me not take a drink. I didn't believe anything would happen, and I would thank him that night if I didn't take a drink. And so what that did was it got me into the habit of doing something that what I know today is you don't have to believe this stuff is going to work. You just have to do it and have a little bit of willingness, and God does the rest of it. So what that did for me was at least set some kind of pattern in my head that 9 months later, when I was sober for just a couple of months and I'm in a bar with a bunch of drunk people because we had been on the boat all day, and I ordered a drink because I was done with this. And I looked at that drink, and I got up and went in the bathroom, and I said, dear God, don't let me take that drink. And it was the first sincere prayer I probably have said in my entire life, except as a child. And I didn't take that drink. Now, I love that I'm sharing with Will, because his awakening is much different than mine, so there's hope for all of us out there, because mine is very slow, sometimes painful, often snotty, lots of tears, and so I'm a fighter, and I fight it. I'm not done until I let go. And so I didn't take that drink, and I didn't know at the time what a miracle that was, because I didn't know what it wasn't going to happen again. You know, I needed some time away from it to know that there is a God, and I'm not it, which is what they told me. So this has changed very much throughout my sobriety, and that's why I love AA and I love these steps, is this is a very fluid step. We got a stream, a flow, you know, it's very fluid. It changes for me. I have books that I read every morning. It is the favorite part of my day. As I make my coffee, I used to have two cats that would sit beside me. They're now up there with whoever they're with, and so I drink my coffee, and I read this step. I read this step every morning. And I have other books that kind of just come into my life. It used to be that I had to run the show, and I had to go to Barnes & Noble, and I got to get this book, and I got to do, you know, blah, 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 blah. And today, what I read kind of just comes to my life. I'm reading a book that a woman in this room had a copy, and she showed me. And the first time she showed me, I didn't like the title of it. Nope, not ready for that yet. And so she showed it to me again about a year later, and I'm ready for that today, because that's how my God works. I'm just not ready for a lot of stuff until I'm ready for it. And so because I have that prejudice that it talks about in the book about religion. And so I am very well-rounded. I don't go to church. I read Buddhism. I read Tibetan, Vietnamese monks. I read Christianity, which was the last to enter on the agenda. And they rotate. I have another book that a sponsor bought me, and we just kind of went through that together. And it's what appears in my life when I'm ready to take that next step. And it's just amazing to me how my world opens up when I take the time, and that's the important thing. My first attempt at meditation or just even being still in sobriety, I remember it just clear as day. I sat down on the bed, on the edge of the bed, and I said, be still and know that I am God, and I got up and I left, because that's as long as I could sit. I could not be still when I came into these rooms, and I couldn't keep my mind quiet, and I couldn't even fathom that there was something out there that could help me with any of that. And so, again, this is another, this is a higher plane. This is not, I can get way out there, and I'm going to try not to do that because I don't want to scare people, but it is unlimited what this step can do in your life. I'll just leave it at that. Let's see. And then I love the thing, what David said, you know. And so I ask him to direct my thinking, and I think about my day, and I actually think about what am I doing today. If I can't make a decision, I do. I ask for that inspiration, intuition, or a decision. And I try and relax and take it easy. And again, in the morning, I'm real good with this. It gets a little fuzzy along the way throughout the day. But I'm really very good with this in the morning. And so what I also had to learn was to shut up. And that's what's been told, kind of been coming to me a lot lately, is be quiet, Debbie. You don't need any more words. You don't need to be talking all the time to pray in prayer. Just be quiet and be still. And that's when I don't hear a booming voice. I'm not psychotic. But what will happen is I'll have a thought that, where the hell did that come from? Because it just kind of flies through there. And if I'm not still and quiet, I miss it. And so that is why I love the morning and these two paragraphs. Now, I will also say I got to talk about this absurd actions and ideas, because I can get those on. Whew, I have them running all the time. You know, when I first got sober, one of my absurd ideas was I knew God wanted me to be an alcoholism counselor because I was in nursing school. The rehab that I applied to closed, so I didn't have to worry about that. I know that I'm supposed to be raising chickens and be a farmer, and I live in Norfolk, and the raccoons would eat the chickens, and so I don't do that, but I try and buy eggs for people that raise chickens, and so I get the eggs at least. I think that I can't meditate unless I'm in the Himalayas with a guru in the cave for a year. And what I have found is that I have had some miraculous things happen in my home, in my chair, when I'm being quiet and alone with God. My newest one is that I need to sell my house and move to the mountains and quit my job. And so what, you know, that's my first interpretation of what I think is supposed to happen. And then what I know is, well, Debbie, why don't you pay off your house, work part-time, and go hiking? And I have to be happy with that for today, you know, because trust me, I'll do it. I will go on my own self-will. And so when I put it in God's hands, I get answers. Not always the answers I want, but definitely the answers that are the best for me. Thanks.
When I was a newcomer, and I would call my sponsor at the appointed time, and he didn't say this every day, but he would pick the exact moment that it needed to be asked, and he'd say, "Will, did you get started right today? Did you talk to God?" And to my knowledge, I did every day. I was able to say yes. I wanted to be able to say yes. That's more of a demonstration of the suffering I've done. And there may have been some of the wanting to get his approval, but it didn't matter. What mattered was that I did it. And I love today's daily reflection, that we've been brought to a new state of consciousness and a new state of being. And that did come to me in a flash, in a moment, where one moment I was in the dark and the next moment I was in the light. And that's okay. It's just the way it happened for me. And I was in that new state of consciousness and the new state of being, and I've been in it ever since, and I want to keep it. And I talk often with my sponsor about my sense of well-being. I rarely talk about how I feel. Talk about that it's important to me to have a sense of well-being. And so when I turn that light on in the morning, the kitty cat's always right there waiting for the treats. And my sponsor taught me to allow my first thought to be of God in the morning. And so my first thought may be of one of God's creatures, but as I turn on the light, I say, "Thank you, God, for another wonderful day." And I do my best before I pray to have positive thoughts about the coming day. Last month, I've done this every November since coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. I had the opportunity to make the coffee at my home group at the noon meeting. I want to be there on Thanksgiving Day, and my home group just so happens has always been on Thanksgiving Day. I want to show God my gratitude. And I'm excited. I'm like a kid getting ready to open a Christmas gift when I realize it's that Thursday. And so my morning devotions consist of, weather permitting, and that's most days, is to go on my back porch and face the coming light and get on my knees and experience the birth of the day as I pray. And I pray the Serenity Prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Third Step Prayer, Seventh Step Prayer, and the 11th Step Prayer every day. And that begins to put me in that state of being I need to be in to get my day started right. And I include the daily reflection in my reading and some other 11th step-based literature. But the real meditation, the real flowing of God's power and grace flow into me during a walking meditation. And I'm very fortunate and grateful that God has set my life up in such a way that I'm able to devote an hour of my morning each day to this. And most days it's a 2 mile, and I've always called it a power walk. Even I was doing it before I got to AA, and that meant I was walking quickly and pumping my arms. Today it means that God's power and grace are flowing into me. And as soon as I go into motion in this beautiful park, it begins to flow. The conscious contact begins to flow into me. And so many wonderful things happen on this journey. I've got neuropathy in my feet because of the way I lived, and I don't even think about that. It's effortless. It's if I'm walking on air. And I might think about a conversation I know I'm going to have that day, and God provides me with the words I might use. And I will contemplate a sponsee and how I might help them, and God provides me with the guidance. And at the end of that walk, I'm in this state of being, a positive state of mind. I know I'm in emotional balance. And I can't wait to see what the day is going to bring. One of the primary benefits of this is that it helps me to be more effective in being helpful to others. It helps me to recognize those opportunities that may come up through the day, wherever I am, whoever I encounter, to greet them with a smile, a kind word or a lighthearted comment that might make them smile. And as the day ebbs and flows and changes and the curveballs come up, I'm ready. I say, thank you, God. Yes, I can change course. Where do you want me to be? Who do you want me to be with? Most of the, you know, unless it's a home group day, I don't know which meeting I'm going to until I've taken my walk. God tells me. It's a wonderful experience. And that can change too. I'm flexible today. I'm not so rigid. During my years with untreated alcoholism, I had a plan. It was to get everything done so I could go home and drink the way I've always wanted to drink. Thank God all the wives were gone at the end. And I had the time and the money to do that. I rely upon this. This is my daily bread, my daily sustenance. And during times of turmoil, I know that this is where I'm meant to be. This can help clear the clouds away that might be obscuring the sunlight of the Spirit. And I'll finish this portion with another thing that contributes to my state of well-being is I always listen to some music before and or after my walk that puts me in the right state of being. I have an 11-step song that I listen to. And recently, in the last several months, I've always liked to keep up on current events. But there was just too much noise. And so I turned all that off, and I turned on classical music. And it's never sounded more clear, more vibrant, or more descriptive of my soul. Thank you.
Thanks, Will. All right, we're going to continue on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will. We're careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that. It doesn't work. You can easily see why.
Yeah. One thing that's changed, I don't know, maybe about a year ago now, when I would do this, I would be checking in and mainly just to give God my itinerary kind of thing, and hopefully that he's going along with it. And I had all, you know, it talks about our little plans and designs in the third step. I am a planner and designer. And so what I don't even remember how this came to my consciousness, but what I really tried to do for about a year is to not do that, to not plan and design, to just wake up and read this, say the prayers that I say. I say the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer. I used to say St. Francis, but that one's kind of off there right now. And I just say, what do you have for me today, God? I'm going to work. Let me be, channel of your... I'm a nurse, so I say channel of your healing, have an attitude of caring in all that I do, and just kind of wait and see what the day brings me. I used to exhaust my husband going on vacation because I would have every minute planned. This is the itinerary, and so that's how I lived my life. And it's been amazing to me, like Will was saying, there's times I don't know what my plan is because I haven't been informed yet. I haven't been instructed yet. And some days I don't get instructed, and that might be four movies on the couch watching Netflix. I don't know. But most days something just comes to me, just like the books comes to me, the readings come to me, the trips come to me, because I have been doing a lot of hiking and vacationing, and they just kind of fallen into place. It hasn't been my researching it for 9 months and planning everything. It's been last week I dropped off the friend who had gone to the park with me, and we'd gone hiking. She had to go back home. I dropped her off out there in Blacksburg, and I didn't have to go back to work till Wednesday. It was Monday. I said, okay, God, where do you want me tonight? And I stayed in a teepee, and it was awesome. It was awesome, and it just happened. It just fell into place, whereas before there would not have been a Monday night where I didn't know where I was staying like 6 months ago. And so it's been, so what I try and tell myself and tell sponsees is don't limit God with my demands. Because when I start saying this is, I don't say, give me a Ferrari or something like that, or I do pray for his will for me. But when I have these demands of this is what my day is going to be today, and he just is kind of up there chuckling, that's what they say. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And so when I keep that mind open and I'm free from this self-will, because I'm either going to be self-will and self-centered or God's will and God-centered and other people-centered. Those are pretty much my choices. And when I can do that and stay in his will, this is the power step, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. This is where the power comes back to us. And it's not my power, it's his power, again, like Will was saying, to be of service to others. And not always, it's not just AA, it's like my coworkers, my husband, my friends, my whoever, the stranger I meet at the 7-Eleven that I'm, might want to push out of the way because she's taking too long or whatever, road rage, whatever. When I can just truly say, okay, what do you have for me today, God? What can I do to be of service today? It's been a pretty amazing day. Thanks.
I often thought about how wonderful it would be to have a walking meeting. And wouldn't you know, 6 months ago, I've had two wonderful men in my life for quite a while. And I've had the opportunity to have walking meetings with each of them. And they're both here with me tonight. And one is my original grand sponsor, and he always is able to remind me. He doesn't direct this at me, but he reminds me that I fall far short of God, what God would have me be today. And boy, I love that, because it helps me to stay right-sized. But I'm undaunted by that, because to know that I've just scratched the surface of what can be. I can't wait to see what might be revealed. And just hearing that can keep me from getting too haughty. It was my pride was one of the big factors that got me here. It's one of the things that I contemplate while I'm meditating. And the other friend, Greg, when we walk together, he reminds me that God is with me in every moment. And that's one of the prayers, since he shared that with me, that sometimes I just say, God is with me. And we also are on the same wavelength that to us, life is a bowl of cherries. We come across the occasional pit, but we have the steps and the principles to help us digest that pit. And this prayer and meditation gets me into that state of being where I can practice love, tolerance, kindness, compassion, acceptance, and that all-freeing, true forgiveness. I always keep in mind that during that Lord's Prayer, I ask God to forgive my trespasses. How am I going to not forgive those who trespass against me? It took me a long time to get to this point. And it was through a reading in the book Salt Through Prayer Meditation that my dear friend Bob guided me to. It was just two paragraphs where I came to have true forgiveness for my dad. It came in a flash. Just those two. He just texted me. He said, "Will, read these two paragraphs." In a lifetime of a broken, twisted relationship has been healed. This is truly a freeing experience for me. And when I experience turmoil, I have a go-to prayer. God, please guide me towards a spiritual solution that keeps principles before personalities. And the only way I can practice these principles is by practicing the 11th step. And, it's the nature of practicing the 11th step that I kind of have to do less of some of the others. I like that. I'll make amends when it's called for. But I don't particularly like to go into someone with my hat in my hand. But I'll do it. And I've become more effective at that with the help of the 11th step, and I try to do it in a good-natured way. And I have to be able to receive forgiveness, too. I've had many that have forgiven me for current events, not just for the past. And I'm very grateful for the grace that others show me. Thank you.
Okay, next reading is on page 87. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Debbie?
This one will be quick. I think I've already touched on all of this, a lot of this. I am one of those that better to meet God alone than with someone who might misunderstand. So I know that there are people in AA that have like 11-step partners and call and whatever, and I'm not one of those people. And I don't belong to a religious denomination. I've already shared about the books, but One of the most hair-raising sentences in this book when I first read it was, "Be quick to see where religious people are right." It's like, oh my gosh. That was a long time to go away. I definitely was one of those violently anti-religious people when I got here, and I truly don't even know why now that I've been here for a while, but I know that I was. And so make use of what they offer, and I don't remember exactly where it is in the book, but where it talks about when I'm reading these things that might be brought to my attention from whatever source, to decide what it means to me. What does that, what do those words mean to me? And not my old idea of what it meant in religion, because I went to church until I was like 13. Then mom said I didn't have to go, so I never went again. And then I started drinking not shortly after that, and that was my immediate higher power. I didn't need the church. And I, in my early sobriety, I would go to church about once every 5 years because I just felt like I needed it. And then I felt like I didn't, and I had a big, there was a battle in me, a lot of book reading. That's why I went so many different ways with different religions and reading and trying to figure it out. And one of the biggest spiritual experiences I had, because I've actually had a tiny little thing that was kind of a, like Will had a whoo, but anyway, I was sitting in my little room and doing my prayer and meditation. And what I heard was, "You don't need to figure that out, Debbie. You're an alcoholic and you're an AA, and that's where I want you. Now pick a side and do the work." And pick a side means I either am or I'm not. And what's your choice to be? And it was like a physical thing. And my husband walked by and he knew something was going on just by looking at me. He's like, "Are you okay?" And it was like, "Something's happening, something's happening." And so I really urge you, if you like doing drugs, you're going to like this 11th step. I'm telling you, if you do it, it's going to do some stuff for you that you can't even imagine. And so, I'm just saying things can happen if you do this. And they're all good. So, that's it. I'll shut up.
The most wondrous experience of my life was when I was at about 10 months and I had the opportunity to be holding my mother's hand, stroking her hair, and telling her I loved her when she took her last breath. And I got to experience the ascension of her spirit into the kingdom of God. And to show my gratitude, I went back home and started going to a little church I'd been before on one of my dry periods when I thought the Will Cheney program would work. And I got involved, and I wanted to show my gratitude and sense her presence. And I could sense her smiling down. And I wore the, what do you call that, Greg, that you wear? The vestments or whatever they are. And I got to carry the cross like I did as a child when I hated it because I was so scared. And I got to serve the wine. Now the Episcopalians use the real thing, and when I served the wine, I could smell it. And I go, "Oh, baby, that smells good." But I did not have the desire to drink, and I never take the wine at communion. That's just what works for me. I take the bread. And I did that for some 6 months, and it goes hand in hand with what I've been given in Alcoholics Anonymous and what my mother taught me. I could understand what they were singing about and praying about and reading about. And I love, I got to go to a home group member's memorial service at my home group church, and what a beautiful service. I just love the countenance of the minister. Thank you.
All right, page 87, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more efficient. We do not tire so easily. For we're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to to suit ourselves. Debbie?
This one takes some time for me. I'm not a good pauser. I'm a better pauser today. And I used to get so frustrated. I mean, I would have sticky notes about pause, I will be done, you know, your will, not my will. And then my mouth would start going when you piss me off, you know. And so today it's better. I can't say that I pause and I'm calm and I ask for the right thought or action, what it usually looks like for me, especially at work. I have a spiritual challenge at work. And she sits right next to me, and we have a little cubicle wall, and I will hear something she says, and I have a response, and I know it's not a good thing to say that response, and I will just close my eyes and say, okay, God, what do you want, out in my head, not out loud, what do you want me to do, what do you want me to be, what do you want me to say, and that keeps me quiet long enough to kind of let it pass. So that they didn't ask for my opinion, and I don't have to offer my opinion, and then I don't have to apologize for my opinion, because I'm not Catholic, and I don't believe if you think it, you do it. That's just my opinion. But I do try, and this whole humble thing, you can tell I haven't got a whole lot of it yet, but I really do want to do His will for me today. And I know that on my own I can't do that. And so that's why I do this over and over every day. This whole thing about what we're in much less danger of excitement is the biggie for me. And I always point that out to sponsees, because then it's fear, anger, worry, self-pity, foolish decisions. Well, we know we don't want that. But that excitement, I did not want to give that up. You know, I just thought that if I'm doing this stuff and I'm praying and I'm believing in God, it's going to be boring. And I don't want to be boring. And that has not been my experience. And so I have to watch for that excitement, because when Debbie starts driving the bus again, I like the excitement. I like to think, oh, you know, what can I do over here? And, you know, it's been a while since I made her cry at work. And I try not to do that today. I used to get a big kick out of that, and I try not to do that today. And it's only by doing this over and over and over again, and saying, you know, when I review my day, did it again today, God, did it again today, God, did it again today, God, until I finally realize if I just don't do it, then I don't have to say it that night. And I don't know why I wrote this down, but I'm going to read it. And so what this whole 11th step is about for me is, am I living a life that is pleasing to my Creator? Am I part of the sunlight of the Spirit? And that's what I want to be. And on good days, I can hold that and do that. And I've never had a whole day where it's like, oh, screw it, I'm not doing any of that God stuff today. I always at least do the morning stuff. And I have room for growth in the evening stuff. Thanks.
About 2.5 years ago, I toddled off to South Florida, probably going to St. Augustine on the first leg of my journey on vacation. And after a 9.5-hour drive, I arrived at my destination, and I received a text, and something that had been promised that would be done that was very important in my mind, I learned would not be done. And I perceived that it was being done to me in a passive-aggressive manner. And I had enough conscious, sometimes having conscious contact enough, you know, is to know when to call my sponsor. Because I was seeing red and my thumb was hanging over the keyboard, ready to fire off any one of 10 sarcastic comments, and I'm the king of sarcasm. And I paused, and I wasn't just agitated. I was seeing red for the first time since I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. And as always, my sponsor was there for me. And I started recounting what had occurred, and at some point I said, now I'm just venting. And he said, well, that's okay, Will. And I said, I think I'm ready for the solution. And he guided me towards a solution. Yeah, I've learned my sponsor is never going to give me the answer. He's just there to steer me in the direction so that I can talk to God about it for the answer, for the solution. And that's the first time it was God-given that I said that prayer. Please guide me towards a spiritual solution that keeps principles before personalities. It took about 2 weeks that time. And when it came, it was glorious. And each experience like this, the sunlight of the Spirit shines even brighter. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. We'll let Bill Wilson have the last word tonight on page 88. We alcoholics are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in this simple way we have just outlined. But that is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12, as will be the next 2 weeks at this meeting. Simple actions. Come back next week. That's what we'll be talking about. I'm going to pass the seven tradition basket. Thank you. Seven tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Are there any announcements for the good of AA tonight? Anybody? All right. excuse me. This group, right here in this room, this month, the day after Christmas, December 26th, we're having supper and a speaker. There should be some green flyers over there. Feel free to take them back to your groups and help us get the word out. But normally the meeting starts at 7, and Al Jay will be the speaker that night. But an hour before that, at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a potluck. So bring all your Christmas leftovers here, and we'll eat them together. Have a supper and a speaker, December 26th, 6 p.m. Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please. And newcomers, you are the reason we are here. So not to embarrass you or anything, just so we can welcome you. Is there anybody in the room in their first 30 days of sobriety?
My name's Chuck.
Hey, Chuck. Welcome.
I'm feeling like three more.
My name is Myers. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Myers, welcome.
Welcome.
I'm Pat. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Pat.
Welcome.
All right. Welcome to you all. There's literature over here. If you can fold it, it's free. If you'd like to purchase a book, just see one of the home group members. That's what I meant to say. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Would anyone willing to be a sponsor please raise your hand? If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, like what is a sponsor, for instance, we're going to be up at the table after the meeting. We're not going to run out of here, so please feel free to come ask a question. Okay. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside, and please stay well away from the church doors if you're smoking. The church, the nice people here have to come in and out through the smoke. You know what I'm saying. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. And that's it. How about thanking Debbie and Will? I'd like to thank everyone who participated, and after we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting. which will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial. And could I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164, please?
Where is it? Oh, you mean, do I have a book?
You ever want a book?
Yeah.
Somebody got a book?
I've got a book.
I want my 100-pound book.
Newcomer wants to read.
Yep.
Oh, you said last two paragraphs?
Yeah.
Okay, was he going to read it?
Got it.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation, which you can do each day, for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in building.
All right. After we close with the Lord's Prayer, feel free to thank the speakers tonight.
Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.